Today she is Masechta Sanhedrin, the Aflamed Beis of Aleph, who we will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach at the top of the Amid, the new Perek. Teaches us the Mishnah Echad Din Imamnis, whether we speak about it in Tyre B'Din Imamnis. And Tysus points out, why does the Mishnah speak about Din Imamnis before it speaks about Din Nefashis? Says Tysus, because we're really referring back to what we learned in the previous Perek, which spoke about Din Imamnis. For if not for that, we would have mentioned Din and Nefashos first, because the derech, the style of the Tanis, to first speak about something which is more obvious. And the halacha that we're about to learn about Rish v'Chakir, about questioning, is obviously more required by Din and Nefashos than by Din and Mominus. And that's why the Mishnah should have begun with Din and Nefashos, but it began with Din and Mominus, because of the continuation of our previous parak. However, that's what Tysus says here. There are Tysus, other places in Shas actually suggest that the Gemara usually begins, the Mishnah usually begins with what is which is the bigger chiddush, and then goes on to the first the bigger chiddush, and then goes on to the lesser chiddush. So Echadin Imamunis, Echadin Nefashos, whether either type of a case, the Edim have to have Drish V'Chakira, they have to be cross-examined. Drish V'Chakira is the question, the basic questions about what happened in the case of a loan, how much was it for, when did it happen, where did it happen. And then there are questions which are called, as we've been learning, Bedikas. The definition of bedikas are questions that don't speak to the actual situation, what happened. The bedikas represent details that are not critical. So, for example, what clothing was the person wearing? What type of tree? You said it happened under a tree. What type of tree was it? Those are in the categories of bedikas. Says the Gemara, but the halacha is that they're both treated the same way. But the Torah says, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, and we learn from the Pasuk, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, that they're all the same way. So Tysus asks, why, if we're indeed learning, based on the Pasuk of Mishpat Yilachem, that Dinei Mominus and Dinei Nefashos are the same, so all the other halachas, why are they not the same? So Tysus answers, when it speaks to matters that speak about schus and chayva, how to exonerate or make guilty a person, that applies by dina nefashis. Is he guilty or innocent? By dina mamnis, that isn't applicable typically, as we're going to learn, because if one person is going to win, the other person is going to lose, and vice versa. So for those halachas, we don't compare. The Ran has a different approach. The Ran says that indeed, as we just quoted the Pasuk says, Mishpat Echad Yilachem. But says the Ran, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, that equates Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Mominus, is applied to what is the critical element of the Din Torah. And that's where Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Mominus are connected. Something which is not critical, we don't have this halacha. So says the Mishnah, Ma bein dinei mamnis dinei nefashos. The Rishonim explain, since we just learned, the Maram explained, since we just learned that Mishpat Echad Yilachem, so it ought to be the same. So the Mishnah says, so the Mishnah is teaching us, if they are the same, where are there any difference? And I saw a very nice pshat from the Kosh Yeshuas. He says the fact that the Mishnah needs to tell us that under certain circumstances, Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Mominus are treated the same is clearly an indication that not all situations are Dinei Mominus and Dinei Nefashos treated the same. So the Gemara Mishnah's question is, now that our Mishnah has made it clear that Dinei Mominus and Dinei Nefashos are not always treated the same, so now we have a legitimate question. So in what way are they not the same? Says the Mishnah, Dina Mamanis B'Shloisha. There's three Dayanim for Dina Mamanis, whereas Dina Nefashis, we have Esr V'Shloisha, we have 23 Dayanim. Dina Mamanis, when we speak about Dina Mamanis, and we begin, and the Dayanim begin the deliberation, Paischin, they begin the deliberation, Bein L'Schus, Bein L'Chayva. They speak about, they try, there's no difference if they try to, how they begin the deliberations. However, when we speak about Dina Nefashis, Paischin L'Schus, we try to come up with a reason that the defendant is innocent, Vein Paischin L'Chayva, but we don't start with Chayva. So the Mefarshim ask, why didn't the Mishnah explain itself in a much more shortened fashion? The Mishnah should have said, Dina Mamanis Paischin Afilu L'Chayva, but Dina Nefashis Ein Paischin L'Schus, so we would have gotten the message. So I saw that they suggest that even though by Dina Mamanis, that there's not always, usually as we explained a moment ago, there's not possible to say guilty and innocent. What's good for one person is bad for the other person. But there are circumstances where it's clearly a schus and a chayva, if an animal should be put to death. So maybe we would think that only by Dina Mamanis, which isn't obvious what the schus and chayva is, there we could start either way. But in the case of a Dina Mamanis, which is clearly what the schus is and what the chayva is, there we should start even by Dina Mamanis, also l'schus. So it teaches us the Mishnah, by Dina schus, by Dina Mamanis, there's no such requirement. By Dina Nefashis, again, typically it's only guilty or innocent. And sometimes it's not that way. For example, Adam Zimmerman. If there are two pairs of witnesses, one is going to be Zimmerman and one won't be. Kamash Milan, that over there also we always start l'schus. Dina Mamanis, when it comes to a case of financial matters, matna al piyechad, the Torah could be decided based on a plurality of one. Bein l'schus and bein l'chayva, under all circumstances. Dina Nefashis, but when it's a Dina Nefashis case, matna al piyechad l'schus. We can rely on the polarity of one aid to exonerate. They are pishnayim, but if we want to declare the person guilty, then we're going to have two. Ask the Ran. When we speak about Dina Mamanis, as we know, have to have three dayanim. And what's going to be the majority? Two against one. So we see automatically that Dina Mamanis one is enough of a majority. Otherwise, how would we have a way to understand a Din Torah if there are only three Dayanim? If you can't have a majority one is inadequate. So the Rani answer is we go back to the first Mishnah of the Masechta. In the first Mishnah of the Masechta, we learned that a case of a Moitzi Shemra, even though it's a Dina Mamanis, we learned such a case, we have to have a Bezin of 23. Because, as we learned, it could end up being a case of Dina Nefashis. So that's a case where it's a Dina Mamanis, but we could have a case of a majority of two. So we would think that in that type of case, you need to have a majority of two. Teaches us the Mishnah, not necessary. And even in such a case, a majority of one, since it's a Dina Mamanis, is satisfactory. Dina Mamanis, Machzirin, Bein L'Schus, or Bein L'Chayva. If Bezdin discovers that they made a mistake, and we'll discuss this extensively in the Gemara Mitzvashem, if Bezdin discovers they make a mistake, we go overturn the judgment. Dina Nefashis, but by the Dina Nefashis case, Machzirin L'Schus. If we declare the person guilty, then we find the reason that he should be innocent, we'll do over the Din Torah. However, a person that was declared innocent and now is really guilty, we won't overturn the case. Dina Mamanis, when we speak about Dina Mamanis, Hakol Milan Ben Schus V'Chayva. Anyone who's sitting in the Bezdin could come up with an argument for whatever direction. Din and nefashos, but when we speak about din and nefashos, hakom lamdim tchus, everybody could come up with a reason to declare this person innocent. They're not hakom lamdim chayva, but not everybody is accepted to say guilty. So the mefarshim ask, the reason why we're so anxious to declare him innocent, because the pasuk says v'tzilu eida, but the pasuk also says v'ashafto eida. So if that's the case, shouldn't the halacha of trying to be melamed chos and be melamed chayv the same? So the answer that the Meiri suggests is that we learned and will learn, but the avera of mesis is different than all other averas. And by the avera of mesis, the pasuk says, "Loisachmoil v'loisachasolav." Don't have mercy on him. What is the Torah teaching us with that? What the Torah is teaching us with that is, by a mesis, we don't try to come up with a reason to be innocent. Everywhere else, we do come up with a reason to try to come up with innocent. Rashi also teaches us that in the Gemara we learn that when is the halacha that we don't try to be, that if somebody says innocent, we don't say guilty, that's only by the deliberation. But of course, just because you're held one way by the deliberation does not mean that you're locked into that opinion when it comes to the vote. And therefore, b'din imamnus ha-melamet choyva melamet chos, v'melamet chos melamet choyva, b'din in nefashis ha-melamet choyva, the one that said choyva could still come up with a reason for chos. Ava melamet chos, the one that has a reason to say that he's innocent, ain't a yochel lachzal lamet choyva, while they're doing the deliberation, then he can't say any reason to make the person innocent, to make him guilty. But he, as I said, he could vote that way when it comes to a vote. Dina mamnis, when we speak about dina mamnis, daran b'yoyim, the dintayr could take place by day, v'gaymrim b'layla. And if we finish the dintayr by night, and they want to finish off the dintayr by night, we have the right to do so. However, dina nefashis, the dina nefashis, daran b'yoyim, the deliberations are done today, v'gaymrim, and the final verdict is done for tomorrow. So there's many discussions when we learn that by dina mominus we could start by day or finish by night. How is it to be understood that halacha? Some say that is a b'di'evid. That really what should happen is that the dintayra should begin today, even by dina mominus, and continue tomorrow. But if we did it today, if we started today and we finished today, then we may do. But according to that, there's 2 points. One point is it's only because it began by day, may we continue into the night. And also it seems that it's a b'di'evid. However, the halacha is that by dinei mominus, if all parties are agreeable, the halacha is we could do the din Torah even by night. But dinei mominus, gaimrim by b'yoyim, the din Torah of a din mamas, the din Torah could be finished on that day, bein l'schus, bein l'chayva, no matter what type of decision is going to be reached. Din nefashis, when we speak about din nefashis, goyimrim by b'yom l'schus, if we're going to exonerate the defendant, that could be done on the same day of the din Torah. U'b'yom shel achrav, but if it's going to be a guilty verdict, it's going to be that b'yom shel achrav l'chayva, it's going to be on it could only be done the next day. And therefore, says the Mishnah, since the din Torah l'chayva, the verdict could only come back the next day, because if we're going to want to declare him guilty, we can't declare him guilty on Shabbos, we can't declare him guilty on Yontif, because the halacha is, if a defendant is declared guilty and chayiv misa, we have to kill him that very day. And we're not allowed to administer Mises Besdin, not on Shabbos and not on Yontif. And that would be a problem, that if a person has a guilty verdict and he's supposed to be Rechmon Slam put to death, we don't want to delay it. So therefore, don't do it an entire Friday or Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, that we can end up with such a situation. From here it seems, so this is only an issue by Dinei Nefashos. By Dinei Mamonos, since there's no such a concern, we should technically be allowed to do such a Din Torah on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. However, in the Yerushalmi, it says that we shouldn't do a Din Torah of Dinei Mamonos even on Erev Shabbos. And the Yerushalmi itself asks from our Mishnah, and there quotes a Braisa, that says that that seems that we can do a Dinei Mamonos on Erev Shabbos. So the answer is that, truthfully, a Dinei Mamonos can be done on Erev Shabbos, Midaraisa. But the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Avu and the Yerushalmi, teaching us that even though technically a Din Torah of Dinei Mamonos can be done on Erev Shabbos, it should not be done on Shabbos. And the reason that the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch give is because Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, people are busy getting ready for Shabbos, Yom Tov, and they won't be able to give the Din Torah the proper attention. The Ramah says that since Friday and Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, people who the yeshivas typically are not that much in session. So that's why, on the contrary, the entirists were done on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, then, because the people, the Rabbanim, who were needed for the entire, are more available on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. Rashi, in the Pasuk that says, the Shaval Amachna, explains that on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, the Luchas were broken. On 18th day of Tammuz, the people who participated in the Chet Egel were punished. And on Yutes Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. The Ramban says that it all happened on Yud Zayin Tammuz. The Brisker Rav says, why did it have to happen the way Rashi says? Luchos broken on Shavuos B'Tammuz, and then the next day, and the next day. He says that the reason is that there's a question. He says the machloikus of the Ramban and the Rashi is based, what is the halacha if an entire city did avodah zarah? Is the halacha, like we learned in our Mishnah, that we can never administer the punishment on the day of the Din Torah, or there we could do it all on the same day? Rashi is of the opinion it could all be done on the same day. So since Rashi says it could all be done on the same day, Rashi says it can't be done on the same day, like the din of our Mishnah, and therefore we had to wait these couple of days. Whereas the Ramban says in that situation it could be all done on the same day, and that's why the Ramban doesn't agree that there was this delay. Continues the Mishnah, din emomenes, hatumas vataharis, maschil menagodl. When it comes to get the opinion, the halacha is we could start asking the most significant member of the Bezdin his opinion first. However, when we speak about Dinei Nefashos, Maschilin Menetzad, we have to start from the youngest people, because from the least distinguished individual, because we need to be concerned that if the most significant person will say an opinion, the other people will be embarrassed to disagree. And therefore, to avoid that, and even though technically the halacha is that they may disagree, everybody's supposed to say their honest opinion, but we're concerned that that may happen, and therefore we don't want that gadol to say, the gadol to say his opinion first. And as the Rishonim explained, by Dinei Nefashos, where the stakes are so high, that's where the halacha is we have this concern. By Dina Mamonos, where the stakes are not that significant, we don't have to be concerned. Another explanation I saw is Taisva says, the Pasuk says, Loisana al Riv. And the Gemara explains, Loisana al Riv, Loisana al Rav. Therefore, by Dina Nefashos, there's an explicit Pasuk that says, you can't go against the opinion of the Rav. And therefore, we start with him last. There is no such halacha by Dina Mamonos. However, the Nemukei Yosef says that even though our Mishnah says that by Dinei Mamonos the godel could be the one to state his first opinion first, still the halacha is that it's appropriate that we should start with the cotton. We want to get to the truth. The truth we're going to accomplish by making sure that everybody could say what they believe. And that's only if we let the cotton not be held back from saying his opinion because he's concerned about the godel. Even though the Rishonim say, well, maybe we shouldn't allow that to happen. Because if we're going to have, if the halacha allows the godel to say his opinion first, and then we let the cotton say his opinion first, isn't that a lack of kavod to the godel? To which the Rishonim say that the godel, what the right thing to do is that the godel in such a situation should be meichel on his kavod, should say, I forgive my kavod, to make sure that we're going to get the right psak. Everybody's qualified to be a dayan by dina mamnas, even a mamzer, for example. However, not everybody can be a dayan by dina nefashos. El kahanim levim yisraelim amasim lakunim. Kahanim levim yisraelim who yichus is so impeccable that they can even marry a kohen. Says the Gemara, dina mamnas bina bina chvish v'chakira. We began the Mishnah with the words Echad Dina Mamonis v'Echad Dina Nefashos b'drisha v'chakira. So ask the Gemara, is that indeed the halacha? The Dina Mamonis, we have to have drisha v'chakira. V'rimini, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Braisa says, Shtar shezmanu kosov b'echa b'nissen b'shmita. If a document says that this, the date of the document is on the first day of Nissen and the Shemitah year. And of course, the Mefarshim all asked the question, how could we have a document written in a Shemitah year? Doesn't Shemitah automatically cancel all loans? So the answer is there are a number of situations where the Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan. One is that a prosbul was written. And this actually is used by the Paiskim to discuss an important question. In a Shemitah year where we write a prosbul, when is the time to write the prosbul? At the beginning of the Shemitah year or at the end of the Shemitah year? From here it seems that it should be written at the beginning of the Shemitah year, and therefore even though it's taking place during the Shemitah year, the prosbul will not cancel the loan. That is the opinion of the Rosh. There are many that actually hold, the Shulchan Aruch says that the right time to write the prosbul is at the end of the Shemitah year, and some say that it should be written twice, one at the beginning of the year and one at the end of the year. Another explanation is that there are many Rishonim that hold that the Shemitah only cancels loans that are due before the Shemitah year or during the Shemitah year. But if you have a loan that was issued, but the due date on the loan is after the Shemitah, then the halacha is that the Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan. And therefore, a loan could be written during the Shemitah year. Shtar shezman kosov b'echad b'nissen b'shemitah, or bar be'edim, and Edim said to the Edim who are signed on the shtar, heich atam edim ashtar zeh, how could you be signing such a shtar, the loy beyond plenty, on the date of that shtar, imano yisim emakam plenty, you are with us elsewhere, which this is, again, an example of Edom Zomimim. The halacha is, shtar kosher ve'edav ksherim. The shtar is fine, the Edom ksher, because shema echru v'kasvua. It may be a type of a shtar that we've discussed in our shurim, and that's called a shtar mocher, a post-dated shtar. Says the Gemara, v'sakadatach, if as we are learning is correct, that be'in and drish v'chakira, that even by dinim mamnis we have to have drish v'chakira, and the date has to be accurate, heich chishinen shemechru v'kasvua. In other words, the Gemara's question is that we'll never be able to have a post-dated shtar, because if the part of examining Edim requires that we should be able to ask them, when did this happen? And then they should also be able, based on what they say, we should be able to decide if we could be mazim them. But if the dates don't mean anything, So how will we ever have this line of questioning? Ask the Gemara, L'tamech, there's a much more fundamental question. Tikshlach mimasnisin. Why don't you ask a question from an explicit Mishnah, Masechta Shviyos, Perek Yud, Mishnah Hei, that teaches us, Shtarei Chayav HaMekdamim, predated Shtaris. That means if I lend you money today, but the Shtar was predated to before today, the Halach is the Psulim. And the reason the Pasul is because as soon as we often have learned in our Shurim, as soon as the Shtar is written, there's a lien on all the property. And since at that point, there's a lien on all the property, it may be illegitimate because the loan didn't take place yet. Hamukharim, but if it's a post-dated shtar, so it's only to the favor of the Lekuchas and it's Ksherim. And I saw that Reb Herschel Rimanover used to explain, Shtari Chayv HaMekdamim, if somebody, when he does tshuva, he's only focused on Mekdamim, he's only focused on what happened, but not focused on what, and he's not focused on Mukharim, on what's going to be. His tshuva is focused on just regretting what he did previously. That halacha is pasul. What is a shtar choiv that's kosher? Is that when somebody does tshuva, and his tshuva is not limited to the past, his tshuva speaks to the future as well. But according to what Visal Kedatach asked the Gemara, that as our Mishnah began by teaching us that be'in and drish of chakira, so that question is how mucharim, how mike sherim, how can we have an honest understanding of what happened, if and be able to answer drish v'chakira? The dates don't have to be accurate. Answers the Gemara holakasha, that difim nekamer. So the question is, so the Gemara's focus now is if you, this is such a strong question from that Mishnah, why did we ask from the Braisa? Answers the Gemara. There was a reason it was preferable to ask the question from the Braisa. As we said, the date of the Shtar is Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the Shemitah year. Now, as we said, that automatically raises a red flag. It's not a date that people normally lend money because of the Shemitah issues. So it's unlikely that people are going to write a shtar mocher with the date being Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Tishrei year. The Leimar l'shtare, that because nobody wants to write a shtar that has a flaw in it. The filachi kim the shvi soif mishmetas. But since Shemitah only canceled the loan at the end of the year, so even if there's no prosbul, and even if it's going to be due, so the halach is that the Shemitah will affect it. We still have a number of months till Tishrei. Machshirinen. So certainly, because and we say it was written as a shtar mocher. So how do we understand? Come up to ask the Gemara question. Kasha, our Mishnah is difficult. That our Mishnah says we do drish v'chakira, and if the halacha allows us to post date a shtar, how can we do it? Drish v'chakira. Simen charpash. It says the Gemara. Simen charpash. Who represent the names of the various Amoraim who are going to ask this, answer, try to answer this question. Answer the Gemara of Chanina. Indeed, midaraisa, both types of shtaris should, both types of cases should have drish v'chakira. Shenema, as the Mishnah taught us, the pasuk says mishpat echad yilachem. Why is the halacha that by dinim mamnas drish v'chakira is not needed? We want to encourage people to lend money, and because we want to encourage people to encourage them to lend money, if it's going to become difficult, and the edim are going to have to go through drish v'chakira, nobody's going to want to lend money. And because of that, Chazal said, we're lenient on the drisha v'chakira. But, says the Shach, the halacha is that even though we're lenient with the drisha v'chakira, that doesn't take away the point of Eid Shata Yochel Azima. And the way the Shach understands is that if it wasn't maybe necessary to ask all the questions, but if the questions were asked, and then though there are Edom that question the facts that the original Adam said because of Imanu HaYisem, we will have to understand and take that into consideration. The Noid of Yehuda disagrees. And Noid of Yehuda says, a very bechiddush, that included in what our Gemara just said, that because of the concern of Kadesh Loitin al Danos Bifnei Lovin, we exempt the Drish v'Chakira, included in the exemption of Eid of Drish v'Chakira, is that you don't have to have Eidushat Yochal Azima. But the Noid of Yehuda says that even though, and he was taking such a broad application of the concept of Kadesh Loitin al Danos Bifnei Lovin, and he says you don't have to ask questions and you don't have to have Eidushat Yochal Azima, says the Noid of Yehuda, if a question was asked of the Edom, and the Edom don't know how to answer, you shouldn't have asked. You didn't need to ask. But if a question was asked to the Edom, and they don't answer, then the halacha is that they become disqualified. You don't have to ask. But once you ask, they have to have the answer. Matam Amru, Dinam Amnus Labina Drish V'Chakira, Kadesh Leitin Adals V'Fnei Lovin. So ask the Gemara if that's a principle that we're trying to follow. Elamiat, if that's the case, to a bezdin makes a mistake. It's a concept that we're going to be discussing, halacha lo yishlamu, they shouldn't have to pay, because if they weren't able to do drisha v'chakira, why maybe the bezdin should be exempt from making a mistake because we didn't give them a chance to get to the bottom of it. Says the Gemara, on the contrary, koshkein at shetino does with neilovin. If somebody goes into a bezdin and knows that a bezdin is going to make a mistake, then bezdin will not be held responsible. So then again, that's going to be a reason that nobody's ever going to want to lend money. And therefore, of course, the halach is, given the circumstances that we're going to discuss in the next year, bezdin sometimes will have to pay. Rava has a different way of answering the stira, that on one hand, our Mishnah is telling us that Dinei Mamnus require Drish V'Chakira. And from the other Brais and Mishnais that we've learned, it seems that Drish V'Chakira is not required. Rav Amar, Masnis in the Hacha, our Mishnah is speaking about Dinei Knosses. There, there's a requirement of Drish V'Chakira. Idach, the other Mishnah, Masech Tishvius, and the Brais are speaking about Hadas V'Alvos, that we don't have to have there. We don't have to have drisha v'chakira. Now the question is that the Rishonim debate. When Rava gave this teretz, what does Rava mean to do with this teretz? That doesn't mean that Rava disagrees with the first teretz, or it doesn't mean that Rava halachically disagrees with the teretz. Halachically, he agrees with the concept shleitin adalas b'fnei lovin. He just doesn't want to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about this concept, because our Mishnah is speaking about Dayanim Hu Amumchim. And Dayanim Hu Amumchim never pay for a mistake. That's why Rava didn't like that teretz. But according to the halacha, Rava agrees with it. Rav Papa Me'idiv Idibayiv Avah. All the Mishnahs are talking about Avah Avah. Kan, our Mishnah is speaking about Adin Merumah, when the Bezdin sees that there's something wrong with this case. And they understand that it requires the more investigation. And as the Rishonim point out, in a case where Bezdin sees that it's clearly a din meruma, it's clearly dishonest, then Bezdin should just not get involved. In a case like ours, where there's questions, it's not clear, and Bezdin sees that they just can't get to the bottom of knowing what to do without asking questions, of course questions will need to be asked and must be asked. Can the Mishnais and the Braises that seem to say you don't need to have the Drish V'Chakira is like, then the halacha is that you don't have to ask questions. And as I saw, the Ran explains, even in a Dinei Mamnus of a Din Meruma, that was saying questions should be asked, it's not the same as Din Nefashos. By Din Nefashos, the halacha is that you have to go through asking all the questions. And since you have to ask all the questions, the halacha is, if you don't, the whole dentira is valid. Here, the point is to try to get to the bottom, to get to the truth. So the questions that have to be asked are questions that help us get to the truth. Anything else is unimportant. Rish Lakish. And it says the Gemara, the basis of this line of reasoning is what Rish Lakish taught us. So Rish Lakish Rami. Rish Lakish asked the following question. Ksiv, on one hand, the Pasuk says, but tzedek tishbet amisecha. It says the word tzedek just once. Ksiv, yet there's another Pasuk that says, tzedek tzedek tirdof, the word tzedek twice. How do we reconcile the two psukim? Kam b'dimaruma, when we think that there's something not correct going on here. So there we have to ask tzedek tzedek. We have to ask many questions. But then she'en maruma, we don't have to go through all the questions. Rav Ashi offers another teretz. Masnisen k'deshaninen. Our Mishnah is to be answered like what are the answers that we've already offered? Rav Chanina's teretz, Rav's teretz, Rav Papa's teretz. Kroy, the psukim, the Rish Lakish just asked the stira. One pasuk says the word tzedek once, and one pasuk says the word tzedek twice. Echad din, to teach us that one is talking about the Beis Din is coming to try to do a real din Torah and to paskin according to the letter of the law. Vechel pshara. And one pasuk is speaking when Beis Din is trying to reach a compromise. And the pasuk is teaching us that in both cases, we have to do tzedek. And the Rav Ashi elaborates, Kretanya, tzedek, tzedek, tirdaif. The word tzedek was said twice. Echel din, vechel pshara. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Ketzad. How do we understand this? So the Gemara says, Shtei shevinos ovis benar. You have two boats in the river. And the two boats meet. Ovishteim, if both are trying to go through the river at the same time, it's impossible. Shtei and Tovis, they both will drown. Bezecha bezeh, but if one will go after the other, Shtei Mavis, it'll be fine. And similarly, two camels are going up or down this mountain that has a very narrow path. Now the two camels meet each other. If they're both going to try to go up this narrow road at the same time, they're going to fall to the side. Terrible. But if they go one after the other, they both go up. So now we have this dilemma. What do we do? Okay, Tzad. Tuna, the Shaina Tuna, if you have one boat, one camel that's carrying a big load, and one is Aina Tuna, it's not carrying a load, the loch is Titchish Aina Tuna Mibnea Tuna. The one that's not carrying the load should step to the side and let the one with the load go first. Kroiva, the Shaina Kroiva. And the way most Rishonim learn is there's one boat or one camel from a city that's closer to where we are, and one is from a city that's not that close. Then the halach is titcha kroiva mnei she'ena kroiva. And the way the Rishonim explain this Gemara is that the one that's been on the road longer, we should take in consideration that it's been out for such a long time and let it go first. Shteim Krovus, but let's say how you Shteim Krovus. Let's say they're both equal. Shteim Rechaikus, equally close, equally far. Tatl Pshara Benayim. That's the time where Dayan has to make a Pshara, a compromise. Umaalis Chazilza, and the one that will go first will have to pay for the privilege of going first. And that's going to be the explanation of tzedek tzedek. We need to have much seichel, much intelligence put into place to know which goes first. The Ben Yoyada asks a question. Why does the Mishnah speak, why were two examples, a boats and camel, needed? And the answer, because by the boats there's a question of financial loss, and by camel there's a consideration of tzar balachayim. And what we're learning from here is that maybe when it's Tzar Bal Chaim consideration, everything should be ignored. So we learn from here that is not the consideration that we take into consideration. And the Chishuk Echemet has a very interesting discussion, which comes up often. And that is when you have people waiting in a waiting room by a doctor. So what is the way we're supposed to treat patients? Because you could have, normally we would assume that we should first in, first come, first served. Whoever comes first should be served first. But there are many considerations in halacha that say that we shouldn't follow such a rule. There's a halacha of giving respect to a Talmud Chacham. There are halachas about the way we treat a Yosem. There are halachas that we treat a Talmud Chacham, a Almana. There's ways that we treat men versus women. So there's so many different questions what to do. The halacha is that he says that the halacha of Kavra Torah, the halacha of Kavra Torah always is applicable. And therefore, if people are sitting in a waiting room, and people are sitting in a waiting room, and there's a Talmud Chacham that comes in, the halacha teaches us, he says, that the Talmud Chacham goes first. And that's what he says is part of what our Gemara is teaching us. That even though this tzedek, that tzedek means first come, first serve, but there's tzedek that you have to think about. And therefore, he paskins la locha lemaisa, that if we have a waiting room, all things being equal, we follow first come, first serve. But in a situation who we don't have, such as where there are a special situation, he says that the first person, the person who should be treated by the doctor first, is the person who's most sick and needs the attention immediately. And then he says that almana comes before a Talmud Chacham. And then comes a Talmud Chacham, and then comes all the other patients. He also uses this Gemara to discuss a situation where people, which also happens often enough, the people are sitting in a shul, and some people want the window open, and some people want the window closed. And he says that a very big part of describing such a situation is, like our Gemara says, we have to consider the practicality. So let's say somebody wants the window open, and the other person wants the window closed. The person who wants the window closed has the option of putting on a jacket or putting on a sweater. The person who needs the air, you can't leave him without any clothing in the shul. And therefore, that should be taken into consideration. But then, as he just taught us, another very important consideration is the health of the people. And if the person who wants the window closed is a person who's unfortunately not well, his status should be taken into consideration. Tana Rabbanan, continuing this pasuk, tzadik tzadik terev, holach acha bezdin yofa. Look for a bezdin that's going to paskin the shaila right. Acha Rebbe Elezer lelud, we follow the bezdin of Rebbe Elezer to all the way to go to Lud, or acha Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai le Beror Chil. Even though this is asked the Rishonim a question, because we just learned that we should always go to the local Bezdin. And here we're saying that we should look for the best Bezdin. The answer is, sometimes if the local Bezdin feels not qualified, so then we should go to the greater Bezdin. Or sometimes there is no local Bezdin. And then if there's no local Bezdin available, we look for the best Bezdin. Tana, kol rechayim b'burni. If there's grinding going on in the city of Burni, that's a proof that Shvu'a Ben. That's a proof that there's a bris taking place in the city. Or aner b'bror chayil, if there are candles on in the city of Bror chayil, Mishtasham. They used to make they made a rule that we can't get together for a Sudas Mitzvah, for a bris, or for a wedding. And therefore, the way they used to do to let people know, without making too much publicity, is that they used to put on candles. And the Marsha says that the minig is to put on candles at the time of the actual bris milah. Because he says, the Gemara, the Pasuk says in the Megillah, La Yehuda Maisa Aira, and the Gemara Masechta Megillah says, Aira Zu Milah. So we see from here that the Milah travels together with Ar, and that there should be candles lit at the time of a bris milah. Tana Rabbanan Tzedek Tzedek Tedev, Halech Acha Chum Li Yeshiva. You should go after Chum to where they learn. Acha Rabbi Lezer Lelud, Acha Rabbi Yaakov Ben Zakeh Lebro Chayil, Acha Rabbi Shul Lepkin, Acha Rabbi Gamliel Leyavna, Acha Rabbi Kiva Lebnei Barak, Acha Rabbi Masi Leroymi, Acha Rabbi Chananya Betraja Lesisni, Acha Rabbi Yossi Letzi Pairi, Acha Rabbi Yehuda Bemseil Lenetzivin, Acha Rabbi Shul Legoyla, which means Pampadisa, Acha Rabbi Lebei Sharim, Acha Chamim Lishkas Hagazis. So we learned in the Mishnah that Dina Maminus, we could start both L'schus and L'chayva, but Dina Maminus, in the first place, we only start L'schus. Ask the Gemara, Hey Chamrinin, what does that mean? Amar Yudah HaChamrinin, this is what we say, Mi Yerim Kedagmrisin, who says that the truth, we say to the Edom, who's saying what you're saying is truth? Maybe you just came to come up with some sort of a libel. Amalei Ula. So says Ula, if that's the way we're going to speak to Edom, for Chasminalei, that's the way that they're going to be muzzled. They're going to never want to come say Edus. Estimer v'lachasmu, so why that bother you? Milay Tanya b'shimer lezo oimer, Messina sa Edom. We used to transport and push around the Edom imakim imakim from spot to spot in the Besdin. We want them to back off from saying Edus. Says the Gemara, me dummy, your question is not valid. Hossam, there, Besdin doesn't do anything to actively discourage them from saying Edom. We just move them around. And if that causes that they're not going to say Edus, so they won't say Edus. Hacha, but what you're recommending here is to do something which is kadachina lebiyadayim, that we are actively pushing them away from saying Edus. Allah Amar Ula, Hacha Aminin. What we say is, we ask to the person against whom the Edom said testimony, Yesh lecha Edom lazimim, do you have a way to be mazim the Edom? Amalei Rava, so says Rava, b'chipayischem b'schusha shalzeh, shechavasa shalzeh, is that a way to do it? Yes, it may be to the benefit of the defendant, but it's to detriment of the Edom. Ask the Gemara, umi have a chavasa v'atanan, ask the Gemara, why is that considered to the detriment of the Edom? We learned in the Mishnah Masech the Makis that ain Edom zayim nairogim ad shiyag maradin. So they're not going to be punished because there's no gemar din, says the Gemara. Hachamina, what I meant to say was, ilu shasakai adam migmedini, if they'll be quiet on the Edom zayimim until after the Pesach, if there won't be anything happen, maisi Edom mazimhu, other Edom are going to come and have the ability to be mazim. So how can we say something which will be chavasa shalzeh to the detriment of the Edom? Ella amar Rabba, what we say in order to help the defendant, yesh lecha Edom lachishin. Do you have anybody that could contradict the Edom who testified against you? Rav Kahana amar, this is what we do. B'divreichem nizdaka ploini. What we say to them, to the Edom, is based on what you said, it seems that this person is going to be innocent. Abaya, that's how we start the deliberation. We tell the defendant, if you didn't do anything wrong, you have nothing to be scared about. Vashamar, what we announce is, if anybody has a reason to say a reason why this person should be declared innocent, there's a braisa that backs up Abaya Varava's pshat. Rabbi Omer, the pasuk in the Pasha Saita says, "Vishbiyas akoy v'amal isha im loyshachav ish oichsof im loysatis." Mikan, we tell the woman, if you didn't do anything wrong, he knock you in my mamma olam, you have nothing to worry about. And from here we see the pasuk in the first tchil l'schus that we tell this person who's being accused, if you didn't do anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about.